Thank you for that introduction, Beats Hook. The reason why it wasn't recorded is because this week, before we even start anything, we obviously don't have Michael here, and that's why I didn't have to straighten my tie or brush my hair or make sure I looked all right, because this is not going to be visual, it's only audio. And we wish Mazel Tov to Michael for his engagement, and he should enjoy many, many simchas for Yizhar Hashem. So as always, the Torah should be lit in Nishmas Rav Geshem and Rav Mari Lev. The tremendous Parshas Yisra, the Parsha of Kabbalah Satorah, although fascinatingly it's not the Parsha within which we mention, we are told about Nasev and Ishmael, that's the end of next week's Parsha, but we still have plenty of Yizhar Hashem which we'll be able to speak about this week. In the introduction to getting Klal Yisrael ready for the Ma'amad Har Sinai, important to make recognition of the fact as well, that for many years I was under the false impression that at Har Sinai we received luchos. And the reason being probably because we all in nursery school, in cheder, wherever it may be, bring home a picture of a Har Sinai with luchos on top of it. There were no luchos at Ma'amad Har Sinai. Ma'amad Har Sinai was where we heard the Aseres Hadibros. After that, Moshe Rabbeinu ascended Har Sinai the next day and spent 40 days there, unfortunately coming down 40 days later and having the calamity of the Eagle and breaking the Luchas, subsequent to which he went up for another 40 days in Dublin for Klal Yisrael, after which he came down and told them, the Rebbeinu Shem has forgiven you, and I now have Psal Lecha Shnei Luchas Havonim, and he went up for a further 40 days, which culminated in him returning with the Luchas Shniyos on Yom HaKippurim, which is all brought down in a Rashi in this week's parasha. When the Rebbeinu Shem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to go and prepare Klal Yisrael for Ma'amad Har Sinai, and he says the famous words of Koisoimar Lebeis Yaakov, V'sagei Livnei Yisrael, and go and tell them what I want them to know. Following that pasuk, he says to them in Perek Yutes Pasuk Dalad, Atem Re'isem Asher Osisi LeMitzrayim, Klal Yisrael, you all saw what I did to Mitzrayim. You were there. It's not a figment of your imagination. It's not something that you've been told by other people. All of you, all minimum of 3 million people of you, were all there. This was all. These were the Yotzei Mitzrayim. They're all still there. It's less than 50 days ago. You were all there. You saw. Va'esa eschem al kanfei nesharim, and I carried, transported you on the wings of eagles. Va'avi eschem eloi, and I brought you to me. The Targum Yonis Ben Uziel on this pasuk. Of a Va'esu Eschem al Kanfei Nesharim says fascinating words. He says, Atun Chamitun Madi Avodis LeMitzroy. You all saw what I did to Mitzrayim. Uta'onis Yaschoin al Anonin. And I transported you upon clouds. Hey Ka'al Gadfei Nishrin. Exactly like one would be transported on wings of an eagle. There was a magic cloud that transported us. Min Pilusin from Ramses. Va'ovelis Yaschoin. And I schlepped you, la'asar beis mukdasha, to the place of the beis hamikdash, le'me'evad tamon pischa, to do their korban pesach, on that night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, when we were told, ish mipesach beisoy lo yetzu, in fact, what really happened was, we had a little exit, a miraculous exit on Anonim, on clouds, which transported us to Haramiriya, upon which we did the avoid of the korban pesach, ubahu leilo, and on that very night, asevis yaschoin lepilusin, I returned you back to Ramses. Now, if that didn't happen, the whole of Ma'amad Har Sinai would have fallen to the ground, because Moshe Rabbeinu is a prelude to Ma'amad Har Sinai. He's told by the Rebbeinu Shlalem, go and tell Klal Yisrael, you all were there in Mitzrayim. You all saw the Eser Makkos. You all saw Kriyas Yamsuf. You all saw how I dealt Vayar Yisrael Mitzrayim Mesas Fasayom. You also were all the ones who were transported on clouds from Mitzrayim to Haramiriya and back on that night. And if that didn't happen, Klal Yisrael would have closed shop at that point and wouldn't have continued with Ma'amad Har Sinai. So that bit of information has to have happened. In the same way, in Parshas Vayeschanan, when Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael, he relates to them at the end of 40 years in the Midbar, when not everyone who exited Mitzrayim was there anymore, and there were many newer faces in Klal Yisrael at that point. But he tells them, to those of you who were there, you remember what happened at Ma'amad Har Sinai. You remember what I told you before, you remember what I told you during, you remember what you saw, you remember what you visualized, you remember what you heard, you were all there. Amongst the people of Klal Yisrael at that point, there were those that were there, and they were pretty intelligent old, mature people who were not there. They were in their 20s and 30s, who weren't present to Mamad Sinai, were born straight afterwards, and they surely would have asked the people who were there, well, one second, you were there, you were less than 20 when this all happened, so you're still alive. Today you must be 50, 60, 70. It really happened. It did happen. You were there. You saw it. This is all true. And they would have verified it, because if not, at that point, many of Klal Yisrael would have defected, and not a single person did. That's part of one of the tenets of our faith, of the strengths of our faith above any others, that this mass revelation which happened and then was related and told by the masses who were there to the next generation, and even to those of their own generation who verified it and told it to others. Now, this astounding piece of information that Klal Yisrael on that night of Mamad Har Sinai actually went to Yerushalayim and back helps us to understand the pasuk, a perplexing pasuk in Rashi in Parashat Kisavei. The beginning of Parashat Kisavei is the parasha of Bikurim. Person who brings Bikurim has to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything that happened in the history of Klal Yisrael, beginning from Arami Oved Avi, we go all the way back to Lavan, as we do every Seder night. And we actually quote these psukim on Seder night. Vanitzak el Hashem Elokeinu, we cried out, Vayotzieinu Hashem Mitzrayim, Biyod Chazak Uzer Netuya, V'Meragadol, V'Isis V'Moisim, and we elaborate on each part of that. And then we say in the Haggadah, as we say here in Parashat Kisavei, Vayivieinu el Amokim Hazeh, Vayiten lo Nesoret Hazois. The person stands in the Beit HaMikdash and he says, Vayivieinu, after we went down to Mitzrayim, and we suffered, and we davened, and we got taken out, You brought us an Amokim Hazeh, which Rashi says means to the Beis HaMikdash, Vayiten lanu es haaretz hazois, and you give us this land, Eretz Zavas Chalov Udvash. L'chaira, that's out of chronological order. First, the Rebbeinu Shem brought us into Eretz Yisrael, he gave us es haaretz hazois, Eretz Zavas Chalov Udvash. We entered through Yericho, we went to Givon, we went to a few different places. Eventually, also, we got a Beis HaMikdash, then we came, Vayiven el Amokim Hazeh. What is it, what does the Pasuk mean? What does the Pasuk tell us to say, the person who brings Bikurim? Or what do we say every Seder night when we talk about the fact that we came to Eretz Yisrael and we say we actually came al HaMokim HaZeh, to the Mokim HaMikdash, before we came into Eretz Yisrael? The Farshim will ask, it's a little out of order. According to this time, Gernis and Menaziel is perfectly in order. Because we went first to Yerushalayim before we ever entered into Eretz Yisrael. On that night of Seder night, we got transported by this magic cloud from Mitzrayim to Mokim HaZeh, to the Mokim HaMikdash, got taken back, after which we then went 40 years in the Midbar, and then went into Mitzrayim. Into Eretz Yisrael, sorry. In the Aseres HaDibros, we have the first time that Klal Yisrael is actually told Mefurish about Shabbos. We were already commanded about it in Moro. Kashitzivcha Hashem Elokecha, we know that we'd already been told about it. But over here, we're told that the parasha of Zohar, Rashi tells us, Zohar v'shomer b'tibur echad ne'emru, they actually are not, it's not written, Zohar is written over here, Shomer is written in Parshas Vayeschanan. The Chasam Sofer points out that the Tur in Erechaim, Simon Reish Pei Vov, says that there are 54 words in the parasha of Zohar. Count them up, you'll see. Between Zohar, Asiyam HaShabbos Tekadshem, Pasuk Ches, and Al-Kem Be'er HaShem, Asiyam HaShabbos Vayekadosheyu, there are 54 words, corresponding to which the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah composed the Tefillah of Ato Echad, V'Shimcha Echad, which contains within it 54 words. Corresponding to the 54 words in the Aseres HaDibros part of Shomer. The Beis Yosef actually says that there is a nusach. Instead of saying Yom, there's a nusach to say Yom Menucha Ukedusha, which we say Yom Menucha Ukedusha Amchon Asata, which means that there's actually 55 words. The reason for that is because, says the Chasam Sofer, really Zocher V'Shomer B'Dibur Echad Ne'emru, and therefore you have to look at it as really being 55 words, just that the Torah wrote Zocher here and Shomer there.
So to which 54 words.
The 54 words over here, between in 54 words in the Pesukim here in our parasha, in the parasha of Zohar, till Alkein Berach Yom HaShabbos VaYikadoshehu, and corresponding to that says the Torah, there are 54 words in Ato Echad. When you look, we have actually 55, because says the Chasam Sofer, we can't forget about the fact that Zohar V'Shomer B'Dibur Echad Ne'emru, and therefore that's into two. Oh, but if that's so, asked the Chasam Sofer, the question begs to be asked. Why did the Rebbeinu Shlomo not put here in our parasha, Zohar v'shomer, siyam HaShabbos, l'kadshei? be very simple to add in that extra word, from which we would learn a hekesh of zechira to shmira. Part of it is that mitzad halacha is to know that women, even though Shabbos is a mitzvah asei shasman groma, they're mechuyev in all the mitzvahs asei shasman groma of Shabbos, because they are also mechuyev in the lois asei, and there's a hekesh of zocher to shomer, because b'divur echad nemru, kol sheyeshnoi b'shomer, yeshnoi b'zocher. And we know women are included in every mitzvah lois asei, whether it's zman groma or not zman groma. And since they're included in the shomer, they're also included in the zocher. Hence, for them, the mitzvah of kiddush is doraisa, and that's why the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah bring down that actually a woman can be moitzi a man in his chiyuv kiddush, as long as he's not yet been yotze with davening. So they're included in this mitzvah as well. Why? Because zocher and shomer, but divrei echad nemru. So ask the chassam service and then write them together here in the parasha. Write zocher and shomer. Why don't we write them together? Why did the Rosh not want to do it? V'nir Ali, he says, which would have helped us with the hekesh, keser v'aseres hadibris. In the entire aseres hadibris, there are 620 words. Keminyan keser, the crown. This is the crown of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was given on Shabbos, and it all has to do with the fact that Shabbos is the keser and the crown of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and why there is Kedushas keser, which incidentally, for those who daven min Nusach Ashkenaz, it's also hinted to in the Naaritzcha and Akdisha, Kesoid Siach Sarfei Kodesh. Yeah? The Rosh HaTevis. Keser is Gematria 620. Kesoid, Siach, Sarfei. The Chof of Kesoid, and Sin of Siach, and the Sin of Sarfei is also 620. That's hinting to the Keser of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in that Kedusha. Al-Kaponim, says the Chassam Sefer, we need to have 620 words in our Aseres HaDibros. Why? A little later on in the Parsha, the Chassam Sefer himself explains why we need to have 620 words in our Aseres HaDibros. And right at the end of his pirush on Aseres HaDibros, he says on the Dibra Maskel Asher L'Reyecho, Oisius Shel Aseres HaDibros Him Kominyan Keser. Why? That's the addition of Tariag, 613, plus seven mitzvahs derabbanon, and that gives us our 620, and that's hinted to in the 620 words that are here. He says that's brought in the Sefer Ir David in the name of the Hakdoma of the Smag to save his mitzvahs Godel. Says the Chassam Sofer, we can actually, in the last words of the Aseres HaDibros culminate with V'chol Asher L'Reyecho. In Asher L'Reyecho, the word Asher has three letters, the word L'Reyecho has four, and he says those seven letters together, the last seven letters of Aseres HaDibros, actually hint to the seven mitzvahs derabbanon. How? He says the Aleph of Asher is Avelus. The Avelus, Shiva Yimei Avelus, the Shiva is a mitzvah derabbanon, and that's hinted to in the Aleph. In Asher, the Shin, is Simcha. So Simchas Chosin Vekala B'Shivas Yimei Amishta. That to have Sheva Brachos is also Mitzvah the Rabbanon, and that's the second of the two. The Reish of the word Asher, the third of the last letters of the Aseres HaDibros, is Rechitza, which is Netilas Yodayim, which we also know is a Mitzvah the Rabbanon. The Lamed of L'Reyecha, he says, is for Lechem, Shehu Pas Goy, to avoid eating the midrabanon, to avoid eating bishulei nochrim. Reish of reyecha is reshuyos, which is erev chatziris, shetufei muvois, which without them we wouldn't have division of reshuyos on Shabbos, and that's also a mitzvah midrabanon. The ayin, he says, is Amalek, which is mikra megillah, which goes on Haman and his chevra, who were all bnei Amalek. And the chaf of L'Reyecho is Kohanim, which hints to the Neis Chanukah, which came about through the Kohanim. See, all of this, as Chassam Sofer, is why the Torah is insistent on the fact that there needs to be 620 words in the Aseres HaDibros, alluding to the 620 mitzvahs, 613 D'Oraisa. The Shin is Simcha, for Simchas Chosim Kalash, of 7 days. So what was the other one you wanted, sorry?
The first Reish, Asher,
the Reish. The Reish is Rechitza, Netilas Yodayim. Sorry?
First Aleph?
The first Aleph is Avelus. Yeah. Right after the Aseres HaDibros, so we'll come back to the Aseres HaDibros shortly, but right after, just keeping with the Chassam Sofer in the meantime, right after the Aseres HaDibros is the parasha that on a Mizbeach, we're not allowed to have steps, we have to have a ramp. And the pasuk tells us, "V'lo yisale b'malo yisal mizbechi, asher lo yisigol ervas chalav." A kohen mustn't ascend the mizbeach on steps, because that would be a certain a lack of covered of tzniyus of gilui erva, even though he was wearing mechnesayim. But there's an element of super etiquette in the Beis Hamikdash, and therefore a person must be careful not to walk up steps, and therefore we have a ramp. Chassam Sofer says this is hinting to also our avodas hatfilah. In the end of the day, it's talking about something that was in the Beis Hamikdash. The assumption is that it has to do with avodas hatfilah, because today we don't have the Beis Hamikdash, and in place of it we have tfilah, which is meant to replicate some of the things that we were doing in the Beis Hamikdash. So Chassam Sofer says like this. He says, we know from the Gemara in Tanis that Beis Hamid Aleph, that ulaavdo bechol levavchem ezo hi avoda shehi belev zu tefillah. We don't have karbonis nowadays, and in place of the karbon tomet shel shachar, tomet shel bein arba'im, and nevarim upadarim, we have our three tefillahs a day: shacharis, mincha, and mariv. Chazal tell us that there's a gemara in Brachos daf nun here on Aleph. Shloisha dvarim mazkirin avoynosov shel adam. There are three things that make mention above of the averis of a person, and therefore obviously we avoid them. One of them is iun tefillah. Now, one second. We say every morning, Iyun Tefillah is a good thing. So what Iyun Tefillah do we mean over there? Explains Tosfos, it's someone who thinks that he, mitzad his good deeds, his Tefillah deserves to be answered. And if it's not being answered, he begins to wonder, one second, I do so many good deeds, why are my Tefillahs not being answered? And a person should rather think, explains the Chassam Sofer, that I'm not right for my Tefillahs to be answered. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chasta agoda listens to my tefillahs the whole time, and that's why I get answered. He said, actually, this is hinted to perhaps in this pasuk. It says, "V'loy sale b'ma'alois al mizbechi." A person shouldn't think about his ma'alos when he's ascending the mizbeach of tefillah, because if one does, one leaves oneself open. Asher lo sigol erevos chalav, the Rebbeinu Shalom reveals things that he doesn't want to be revealed. Rather, a person should say, no, you know what? I don't deserve anything. I don't deserve anything. Fakir. And that's why they say a story about someone who for years was davening for a particular thing until he was advised by someone, you know, next time before you ask for anything, don't ask for it normally where you ask for it in Shemoneh Esra. Ask for it after Moedim. But when you daven Moedim, stop before you say Moedim and just think about, from the day you remember, anything good that the Rebbeinu Shalom has done for you. The person said he stood there and he thought to himself, right, okay, let's go. I remember when I got my first bike. I remember when I got my first chess set. I got my first computer game. I remember when I got my first safe. I remember when I got my tefillin. I got my mountain bike. I remember when I got my license and I got my first time insured on a car. I remember when I got my first debit card and credit card and I went to yeshiva. And I remember when I got married. I remember when I had kids. And I remember when I was able to buy a house. And I remember this and I remember that. He's thanking the branch for all these things. And then he's come up until today. So at which point he felt, you know what, do I really have the chutzpah to ask for more? So the branch said, I don't deserve anything more. But if you've already given me that and I didn't deserve it, can I ask for it a little bit more? And he got it. Because that's really the way that we've got to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the things that we think we need. There's a beautiful Ben Ish Chai on where he says, B'derech Remez, a pshat, in the second of the Aseres HaDibros. Lo yisase lecho peso v'chol tmuna. A person shouldn't make for themselves any form or any picture. Asher b'shamayim mimal v'asher ba'oretz mitochas, of what's in the heavens above or what's on the land below. V'asher b'shamayim mitochas la'oretz. So he takes out five words in the middle of this pasuk, perichof, pasuk dalad. He says, "Asher b'shamayim mimal v'asher ba'oretz mitochas." He says, this is a remez to us that there's certain things in our lives which have to do with shamayim, and there's certain things in our lives which we know are more to do with oretz. And we have to have the right balance and the right perspective. He says, when in avoda, one always looks in inyonim ruchniim mimal. Look at people who are above me and try to aspire to what they are and try and emulate who they are. In Ba'aretz, in Gashmias, Mimal, look how fortunate I am. There are always people who have less than I have. He says, B'derech Moshel, he said, as a Moshel, he says, there was a wealthy man who had a worker working in his house. Wasn't such an intelligent fellow. But he more or less did exactly what he was asked to do when he was asked to do it. And one day, the Balabai says to him, listen, you see over there on that wall leading up to that roof, there's a ladder there, that's the ladder attached to the wall. It's already getting old, it's getting moldy, it's getting ruined, it's not safe. Can you dismantle that ladder for me? I don't want anyone climbing up it. Sure enough, off he goes and he starts to dismantle the ladder. He climbs the first rung, gets onto the second one, dismantles the first rung, gets onto the third rung, dismantles the second, gets onto the fourth, dismantles the third, etc., etc., until he gets to the top and all the rungs beneath him are gone and he's only got a three left. And the Balabais comes out and says, well, what exactly do you think you're doing? He says, well, you told me to dismantle, I'm doing exactly what you asked me to do. And I got to work straight away without wasting any time, without wasting any energy. I straight away did rung after rung exactly as you told me to do it. He says, no, my friend, you gotta understand. You gotta think about things in perspective. Look, you know, when you're dismantling a ladder, you never dismantle the bottom rung because how are you meant to? You would dismantle it from the top. That's the way you dismantle a ladder. Oh yeah, alright, okay, fine. He managed to get him down somehow. And he knows now that when you dismantle ladders, you start from the top. A short while later, he had a cistern which he used for collecting water in the winter and for which they would use as their water supply just throughout the summer. And now being getting closer again to the winter, there was a ladder that led from the ground to the bottom of the cistern, down which the workers would go and clean it up and make sure it was ready. But he was a little afraid that some maybe kids or individuals may climb down the ladder and get stuck in there when the rain started to fall and there would be a sakana. So he tells his worker, listen, you know what, in anticipation of the winter coming, I'd really like you to dismantle that ladder. Can you go and dismantle the ladder over there for me? So, sure, of course. I remember exactly how to dismantle ladders. Yeah, yeah. And he gets down. And as he gets down, he dismantles the top rung as he was told before. On a ladder, you dismantle the rungs from top to bottom, not from bottom to top. And slowly dismantles the top, the rung, the second from the top, the third from the top, etc., etc., until when he's at the bottom, he realizes he's stuck there and he has no way out and he's screaming and shouting. The Balabais hears these weird sounds from the garden, comes running out to see his servant, his Masharas, stuck at the bottom. He says, what do you do? He says, I did exactly what you told me last time. Ladders you dismantle from the top. Shesach said, the Ben Ishchai, we have to always have the right perspective. When you're dismantling a ladder that's leading to a roof, obviously you go from top to bottom. When you're dismantling a ladder that takes you down into the depths of the ground, then you go from bottom to top. He says, when I'm looking at Devorim Shmeimim, heavenly and lofty things, and I look at other people who I am envious of their darga that they've reached and the madrigas that they have ascended to, then that's in those cases I look above myself. I don't look and say, oh look, I'm fine. There's plenty of people who don't do as many mitzvahs as I do. Plenty of people who don't do as much Avodas Hashem as I do. Oh, I'm cool, I'm fine where I am. No. When it comes to Avodas Hashem, I always look to those who are above me to see what I can achieve more and how can I become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When it comes to Dvarim Shelgashmias, rather than being envious of people who perhaps have more than me, but a person has to be Sameach Bechalkoi. How does one do that? Look and say, look, I'm so much more fortunate than many other people. Look at the things I have and how fortunate I am to have them. And one puts that into the right perspective. So in the prelude to the Shia tonight, we heard from Rav Yitzchok about the fact that we're told prior to the arrival of Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai, that the Torah tells us, Vayisu Merafidim, Vayovoyu Midbar Sinai, in Perek Yutes Pasuk Beis, they journeyed from Rafidim, they came to Midbar Sinai, Vayachanu Ba Midbar, all in the plural tense, and they camped in the Midbar, and the Pasuk then ends off, Vayichan Shom Yisrael Genegedahar, in the singular tense, from which Chazal tells us the famous words, that there was Ki'ish Echad Belev Echad, all other encampments there was, complaints, there was arguments over here, they came Ki'ish Echad Belev Echad. I used to always think that this was a beautiful thing that Klal Yisrael did. They were Ba'achdos. And in return for them being Ba'achdos, Hashem said, oh, you know what? It's such a beautiful thing that you are Ba'achdos, I'm going to give you the Torah in return. But I subsequently think it's actually the other way around. It was impossible for Klal Yisrael to come to a situation of being ready to be Mekabel Torah without there being Achdos between them. And Ma'amad Har Sinai would have been impossible without Klal Yisrael being Ba'achdos between them. A little later on in the parasha, when they're preparing in order to stand at the foot of Har Sinai, at the end of Perek Yutes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu after he's made some sort of fencing around the Har Sinai, he said, just go now down, we're about to have this Maimed, and go and warn Klal Yisrael that al yeher v'ha'om al yeher sulah leisel Hashem. They shouldn't demolish to try and ascend to HaKadosh Baruch Hu pen yifrotz bom. And that the term that's used over there is an interesting term, that v'ha'om al yehersu. It should say v'ha'om al yalu, v'ha'om al yovoyu. They shouldn't demolish. What did he mean by demolish? As if to say that if anyone left their designated place, they would demolish the whole system that was going on. Where I like to understand is that if you have an electric circuit of direct current and you were to take out a bulb or a switch, the whole circuit's gone. As we all learned in our first or second physics lesson, you have direct current and alternating current. And if you got your direct current, you take one component out of your circuit, the whole circuit is gone kaput. Klal Yisrael were told if one person steps out of their place, they've been horus, they've demolished the whole circuit. What does this mean? Klal Yisrael were about to come and receive the Torah. Not only were they going to receive the Torah, they were also going to have a revelation of Achdus Hashem. What does Achdus Hashem mean? At the end of next week's parasha, we're told that when Klal Yisrael stood at the foot of Har Sinai, the heavens opened and they saw the Merkeves HaShchina. They saw everything. They saw the Shechina. They saw the chariot of the Shechina. They saw the seat of the Shechina. They saw the feet of the Shechina, whatever that means. And Vesachas Raglov, says the pasuk at the end of next week's parasha, beneath the feet of the Shechina, they saw Kamase Livnas Hasapir. A Levena is a brick. They saw a sapphire brick, says Rashi. They saw a sapphire brick, and they understood that this brick had been in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam throughout the entire time that Klal Yisrael were in Shibud Mitzrayim. Throughout the 210 years of Shibud Mitzrayim, this brick had been in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a brick of beautifully shining sapphire. Asked Reb Zalman Sorotkin, where does Rashi get that from? So Chazal Mefarshim explained that in the Haftarah of this week's Parashah, when we talk about the Masa Merkava, and we talk about the sapphire stone that's there, we talk about an Even Sapir, a sapphire Even. Why in the end of next week's Parashah does it change it to call it a Livnas HaSapir? From that, Rashi and Chazal understood that the Levenim were what Klal Yisrael had to build the bricks, that they had to make themselves, they had to find the straw and make the bricks themselves. That was in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout the Shibud, the Levenim that Klal Yisrael were making. But what type of Levena was it? A beautifully shining sapphire stone. Would it not have made much more sense to have had a stone that was made up of the blood and the sweat and the children of Klal Yisrael? You have a sapphire stone, a shining sapphire stone. And the answer is that when Klal Yisrael reached Mamad Har Sinai, they had an experience similar to the experience that we are, Be'ez Hashem, going to have when Mashiach comes. Where there's going to be a Ushaavte Mayim Besosin, there's going to be waters of Das that are going to be poured into us, with which we will be able to understand every single event that has taken place throughout our Golos. Every single trial and tribulation and difficulty and Simcha and Torah that has befallen and happened to Klal Yisrael individually and nationally will be explained as part of a beautiful tapestry that the Ribbono Shel Olam has. And we will see that it's all been a Livnas HaSapir. Every single component has been a sapphire stone, a shining sapphire stone. It's only with this set of events that we can reach Geula. It was only with the 210 years of Shibud Mitzrayim, with everything that happened in it, that Klal Yisrael could come to Mamad Har Sinai. And the Ribbono Shel Olam, who is Magid Achris Dovar Meirei Shisoi, the Ribbono Shel Olam who could see things Meirosh, knew from the beginning and whilst it was happening that this is all to facilitate Klal Yisrael being able to come to Mamad Har Sinai. And therefore, in his mind, Kavyochel, in front of him he had the beautiful shining sapphire stone during the Shibud. Because there was a Mahalach, there was a tapestry that was being woven. You look at the back of a tapestry and you see all strings and pieces of string that seem to be out of place and knots and pulls, and you turn it around the other side and you see a beautiful picture. Because sometimes there needs to be knots, there need to be tied, there needs to be cuts that need to be made in order to provide the beautiful tapestry on the other side. That we're going to see, that Klal Yisrael saw that at Mamad Har Sinai. They saw that the Ribbono Shel Olam had every detail worked out. That every event that happened, when it happened, how it happened, was all preordained and was all precise. Klal Yisrael therefore understood at that point as well that everything that the Ribbono Shel Olam has in this world is done with tremendous achdus. Everything has its position, its time, and its place. Klal Yisrael were only able to arrive and experience that revelation when there's achdus between them. As long as there may be a lack of achdus, when there's fraction amongst Klal Yisrael, that means fraction or friction, that means that we don't understand, we don't appreciate that every single one of us has a designated tafkid, a designated time and responsibility and place in the history of the world. No two people, since Adam HaRishon, or up until the times of the last person that will walk the face of this earth, have ever been the same. Every person's nefesh is unique. Every person's tafkid is unique. Every person's face is unique. And we know every person's fingerprint, every person's iris is unique, representing the fact that every single one of us has in the Briyas HaOlam, in the plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a designated unique time, place and position that is ours. And if Klal Yisrael realized that, and they did, they realized, I have my tafkid. He has his tafkid. She has her tafkid. And everyone realized exactly where they were meant to be with, well, if I am born in this place, to this family, in this situation, and this person next door to me has born with those abilities and those kishroinus, and he's born with those talents and those abilities, and I have my set, well, then we've each got a different responsibility. We'll work out what it is, and we assist each other to do what needs to be done. With that in mind, Klal Yisrael can say, we understand the achdus of Hashem. We understand how every single one of us has a unique place, time, and responsibility within. I mean, then we can come, we can understand that Rebbeinu Shlomo also has, not just for every single one of us, but for every single event and detail in the history of mankind, has its designated time, place, and position, as every single one of us does have. And therefore, Klal Yisrael, it wasn't just that they, you're ba'achdus, so I'll give you the Torah. No. Because you're ba'achdus, you can have a revelation of Mamad Har Sinai. Second to that, it's impossible for any one Jew to keep all 613 mitzvahs. It's impossible. Yeah. Some of them are only for men, some of them are only for women, some of them are only for kohanim, some are only for certain situations in particular times. So you'll say, okay, no. So we won't be mekayim all 613 mitzvahs. The Arachaim HaKadosh in Parashat Pekudei says, no, it's vital that every single one of us has a shaychus to each of the 630 mitzvahs. Because there are 248 mitzvahs, I say, corresponding to the Ramach, Evorim, the limbs that we have in our body. There are 365 mitzvahs loisa, say, corresponding to the mitzvahs loisa, corresponding to the sinews, the shasa gidim that we have in our body. And every mitzvah, whether we perform a mitzvah saseh or abstain from a mitzvah loisa saseh, gives energy and ruchnius to that limb and that sinew, so that we have the koach to live now, and that we'll have the koach for tchias amesim. So we need, every single one of us needs, all 630 mitzvahs. But how do we have a shaykhis to them? Says Dara Chaim HaKadosh, there's only one way. There's only one way. And the one way is that we are ba'achdus. We perform the mitzvahs that we can do, and we assist each other to do the mitzvahs that they can do. So that we all have a part in each other's mitzvahs. That we're not different people, we're actually all part of one whole. That in fact, I believe, was the question that the potential Ger Tzedek asked Hillel HaZaken. He said, teach me the whole Torah on one foot. Oh, he's coming to make him a sugar. That's what the Gemara tells us a story about some nutcase who came to drive Hillel Meshuggah. No. The Gemara is telling us, he came with a genuine question. He said, listen, I realize you're the Am HaNivcha. I realize that you're the Am Segula. I realize there's also an opportunity for certain people to join that. I really feel that's my calling. But I've got a dilemma. I've got to be real with myself. I want to become a Ger Tzedek. It takes a lifetime to learn all these 613 mitzvahs. How am I going to start performing them as soon as I become a Ger Tzedek? So Hillel HaZaken, don't worry. You know what? Every bar mitzvah boy and bar mitzvah girl has the same dilemma. In fact, every single one of us goes through that. We suddenly become bar or bas mitzvah, 630 mitzvahs. How are you going to keep them? In fact, it's more than that. None of us are even able to perform all of them. How do we do it? So Hillel HaZaken said to him, you know what? Madasoni aloch lechavrach leisavid. Which Rashi says there was, he told him about the mitzvah of ahavta reyecha kamecha. As long as you're part of the chabura, as long as you're doing what you can do on behalf of Klal Yisrael, and you're assisting the others to do what they can do, then you have a shaykhist to all 630 mitzvahs. But idoch. In the meantime, zil gemar, go and learn the rest. You'll be able to perform more and more. As you learn, we're able to perform more and more. What do we do until we know? Make sure we're ba'achdus. So until we know the whole Torah, and we know everything, and we're able to keep everything, which we'll never be able to do, there's only one way. And that way is to be ba'achdus. So if Klal Yisrael wanted to come and say, Naase v'nishma, how are they meant to say it? Oh, we're going to, really? Naase, you're going to do all 613 mitzvahs? Just tell me how. They had to be ba'achdus in order to be able to say that. So it wasn't because they were ba'achdus, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a gift of the Torah. in order for them to be able to say Naaseh v'nishma with sincerity, or as actually it says in this week's parasha, Vayanu kol ha'om yachto vayomru koel asher diber Hashem Naaseh. And exactly how? Yeah, because we have achdus. And therefore it's considered as if we're all doing that together. That is how Klal Yisrael were able to be mekabel on themselves the Tariag mitzvahs, the Torah, and it's actually how they prepared themselves to have that great revelation from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can't fix the world, but at least we can start to prepare ourselves for the great revelation that we are waiting for when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to fill this world with a Meidas and allow us to understand all the events that have happened throughout the entire Bria from its beginning up until the time when Be'ez HaShem HaShiach should come Bekorev. In order to be ready for that, we've got to realize there's Achdus HaShem, there's Yichud HaShem. And we've got to realize we each have a designated position within the history of the world. That is what happened at Mahamad Arsina. Every person had to stand on their position. And Moshe Rabbeinu is told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tell Klal Yisrael, Al Yeher Su. If they step out of place, they're demolishing everything. Because it means someone thinks he's meant to be on someone else's position. He doesn't understand that everyone has their own tafkid. And even if he thinks he doesn't need to be on Yenim's position, but he's out of his position. He hasn't realized his value in the system of Torah, in the system of the world, and in the system of the Bria that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has from the beginning of time up until the end. And we are all a vital part of that tapestry that is being woven through the annals of history, and that Be'ez HaShem should bring us to the time where we will all be able to look back and say that we see Hazorim Bedima Barina Yiktzorun, and we'll see that we lived through a dream, and we actually understand what its interpretation is.